What's going on? What's going on? What's going on? Successes. Y'all, it's been a minute. I know it's been a minute. It's been a minute since we've been live, okay? Been a minute since we've been live, and I don't know, okay? I don't know. The past few days, it seems like, honestly, it's been like the past few weeks. Your boy been a little bit out of it. Can I be honest with you? Can I be honest with you a little bit this Thursday, right? February 19th, 2026. It just seemed like I've been out of it. And it's really interesting. And the reason why I say that is because typically you're out of it when life isn't going good, right? When things aren't going your way, when you were making plans and your plans fall through, or you're making calls and people aren't answering. But the crazy thing was, people were calling me and I was answering, and things were happening good for me in my life, and things are happening good. And, you know, I have my family, got my two baby boys, I got my wife who holds us down, and I've still been out of it. I've been going through like a low period. It seems like anybody else, like, have you been in the space to where sometimes you're going through a couple of days, maybe a week or 2 weeks, or maybe it's a season, to where you're trying to identify this funk, this feeling, whatever it might be, and you can't seem to navigate through, you can't seem to get your eyes above the hills, and you can't just get over whatever that thing is. If that's you, talk to me in the comments, man, because I want to know if I'm not the only one, right? I want to know who else is out there, who else is trying to navigate, who else is trying to move through, who else is trying to overcome, who else is trying to ultimately be a champion, right? Be a champion for life. But y'all, we're going to dive in today, and today I want to talk about something that I've been seeing come across my desk, if you will. And this is a conversation that I feel happens a lot of times in silos, happens a lot of times in corners, happens a lot of times out of the general sight of public. But when I heard this conversation happening on the Perry's podcast, I said, we got to bring it. We got to bring it here to Speak Your Success. We got to bring it to Straight From The Source. We have to talk about this whole conversation about premarital sex. And I know it's not something that, you know, we might be as comfortable talking about if it be in the church or somewhere else. But ultimately, God has something to say about it. And I'm gonna actually just go ahead and get ready to roll the clip. Okay, we're gonna just go ahead and get ready to roll the clip, because I'm gonna let the clip do the talking, and then we'll come back. Yeah, we'll come back, and then we'll unpack it after that point. And the reason why I want to address this is because, you know, I've been married for 6 years. I've been married for 6 years now, 6 years and a few months actually. And so often when I have conversations with some people that are close to me, and they might not yet be married, right? They might say, John, well, you don't know what this is like, you know, being single, or you don't know what this is like because you're married and you don't know. But that part of that's true, but I wasn't always married. You understand me? So therefore, I had a life before my wife. I had a life before my kids, right? So there were other factors, and there were other parts of where I was to where it was before then. Anyway, look, we're going to go ahead and get ready to get into this clip. And after that, I want to come back and really discuss this thing. So this is Jackie Hill Perry, as well as Preston Perry. And they're talking about what if somebody is bad in bed, right? We're talking a little bit about premarital sex here. So let's go ahead and let's look at a real clip.
When I see on TikTok this kind of offense at the idea of waiting till you're married, because it's like, why would I wait? And I don't know what I'm getting myself into sexually. Mm-hmm. You know, I don't know what he got. I don't know what she got. I don't know if they know what they're doing. It seems foolish to find out that maybe my partner isn't the sexual beast and giant I wanted them to be. And I think it is lustful. I think it is ignorant, and I think it is not in consideration of what it means to actually be in a lifelong covenant, which is that in a covenant, two people are coming together under God to learn one another. The process of becoming one is the process of learning and curiosity.
Jackie talking good right here, y'all. Just so you know, Jackie is talking real good right here, okay? The process of two coming together as a covenant and taking time to learn one another within that covenant. All right, y'all, here we are. We're talking about the process of waiting until you get married, you know, to be able to experience each other intimately and sexually. Let's go.
Yeah. We're just so impatient with process. You know, the world, I think it conditions us to want everything right now. I got to know if he can do this right now.
But if God is blessing this union, he is giving you time to learn a person.
And I think that sometimes we just underestimate the benefits of being able to learn a person.
That's why y'all didn't smash before y'all got married. And y'all waited and stuff like that. And you marry somebody who was very sexually active. Nine times out of ten, that man is going to think seven special moves that he did on Tisha is going to blow you away. But at the end of the day, your bottom half is different than her bottom half.
Yeah.
And so just because you baked the cake in that pan and it worked, that don't mean that I got the same pan.
All pans is not tight as other pans.
I wasn't talking about that. I'm simply saying.
And all cakes is not big as other cakes.
How you put the batter in that pan may not apply to how you're supposed to put the batter in this pan. I get that you might have been talented out there, but you still got to learn me.
Whoa. Good people, family. Okay. They talking good. We're talking about this whole construct or this whole idea of waiting until you get married to then take that sexual step, or the other side of it, right, is, you know, abstaining from sex. So here's a few things that I wanted to just break down and I wanted to get to here in the scripture. So in 1 Corinthians chapter 7, right, verse 8, it says, "But I say to the unmarried and to the widows that it is good for them if they remain even as I am. But if they do not have self-control, let them marry, for it is better to marry than burn with passion." And this is Paul speaking to the church in Corinth. And what I want to extract here is, right, if they cannot control themselves, then they should marry, right? So Paul's writing this to the church in Corinth, and what's taking place here is, this is a culture of hyper-sexualized culture, if you will. So we're talking about temples, we're talking about immorality, we're talking about confusion about marriage, singleness, potentially all of it, right? And throughout the chapter, Paul is addressing, like I said, marriage, singleness, sexual desires, and self-control. So he's not condemning the desire, but he's ultimately offering wisdom on what to do with it. The first part, if they cannot control themselves, Paul is acknowledging that something is real. And the desire, this is something that's natural. Attraction, this is something that's natural. Longing, this is something that's natural. God has given us these desires, right? So let's not negate that fact. God has given us these desires. But here, Paul, he's talking about self-control because this is one of the fruits of the Spirit. Because the issue ultimately isn't desire. The issue is the discipline. And knowing that he's talking about self-control, this is one of the fruits of the Spirit, which is broken down in Galatians 5, 22 through 23. And he's saying, if someone is constantly battling with temptation and losing, then Paul is saying, don't play with fire, right? If you know that every time you go around a bar, you're going to get a drink, and you know you have no desire to take a drink, then you wouldn't want to be around bars. You wouldn't want to hang around people who are always in those environments, in those situations. So Paul is saying, then they should marry. Well, why should they marry? So marriage here is presented as a safe covenant container, if you will, right? It's presented as a God ordained outlet for sexual intimacy. Not that this is the purpose of marriage or the only piece of marriage, but this is a factor that we can consider ultimately to still be honoring God, right? And then it's a commitment. Marriage is a covenant and it's a commitment. A covenant is something that's deeper than a contract, right? This is lifelong. And here Paul is saying, or he's not saying, marry because you're lonely. He's saying if your passion is stronger than your discipline, then choose covenant over choosing chaos. What's happening right here? Well, one thing that's happening is that you, me, we all understand that God has given us these sexual desires, right? And we know that this is a good thing because God invented the desire. God invented sex. So if these things are all true, then how do we get the full benefit? This is why we're being called to abstain. Why are we being called to abstain? There's a scripture in the text that says, when we're weak, he's strong. So by us leaning on our weakness in whatever area this is, this can be around like our sexual desires. This can be around us struggling in any other area. But by us leaning into God, leaning into Christ, now this is allowing us to submit that thing, that struggle, that challenge, saying, God, hey, I want this, but ultimately, if it's not your plan, I want to have it in the way that you designed it, in the way you planned it. Why? Because I want all the benefits, and I want to benefit in the best way, right? So let's go a little bit more down the text. Then the third point I got for you, he says it's better to marry than to burn. Burn can mean burning with sexual passion, right? It also can mean burning with a constant temptation and inner turmoil. So Paul basically here is telling us, don't let your unchecked desire run your life. Don't let it ruin you. Right. We have either been in a space or we know a person to where they couldn't control their desires. So then they've gone off on somebody, and then them going off on somebody could lead to their detriment. Right. So therefore, understanding that, Paul here is letting us know that marriage is not your fix for lust, but it's a holy structure for your sexual expression. Let me be transparent with y'all. Okay, let me be real transparent. Sometimes we can fight and say, why is God saying that sex is for marriage? I want to have sex before marriage. I'll make it about me. Not we. I'll make it about me here. Before I got married, I had a checkered past, right? I was a little loose with my body to a certain extent. And then when I did that, not only the shame that came after was one of the downsides of it, but then even, so there was the shame. It led to broken relationships. Like I shattered relationships because me and another person who I was not married to got involved into a bonding activity of sexual intercourse, and therefore, what did that lead to? That led to me and these people not having relationships anymore, right? That led to, like I said, shame, and that also even allowed me to give somebody a piece of me that wasn't for them. And that also allowed me to take a piece of somebody that wasn't for me. Why am I saying that? Because even now, 6 years being married, even now, there are certain mental gymnastics and mental challenges that I have to even face even now, just due to my lack of discipline in that season. If it was college, if it was high school, wherever it was. So I want y'all to understand this. God is not saying, I don't want you to be able to benefit from the thing that I have designed and made good. But he's saying, I want you to protect it. I want you, God's saying, I want you to get the full benefit. He's saying, I created sex, so I want you to be able to have it. But I want you to be able to have it in the way that I designed it, with boundaries. I want you to have it in the way that I have designed it, in the way I've created it, with guardrails, so that the person that you are doing life with, the person that you are signing up, right, to be in a covenant relationship, a covenant marriage, a covenant under God with, I want you all to experience that together, not anybody else. Because you all know, like I know, sex outside of marriage or even premarital sex, this will give parts of you to somebody that at some point in time you could regret, right? You're like, ah, oh, man, or ah, oh, this, ah, oh, that. And then just to close this thing, just the part like Jackie said, right? There, we might be having these wonders and having these questions like, what if this person can't X, or what if this person can't Y? So now you're always going to be comparing what was before, who was before, who was prior. And that's always a dangerous comparison, right? Because when we go there, then what happens? Comparison is a game we all lose. It's a game we all lose. So therefore, by getting in a marriage covenant and knowing this is long term, now you all have time to learn. Now you all have time to learn each other, to be able to be in a space and to be in a place to where, as you all are navigating through this thing, then you can figure out what she likes. You can figure out what he likes. And by identifying what your spouse likes, this is part of the journey, right? This is something worth enjoying. This is something worth pressing toward. This is something that you all can do together. We're better together, and life is more plenteous and more beautiful when we do it the way that God designed it. Family, that was straight from the source, and we're going to get ready to just wrap this episode quick this morning. But I wanted to share that with you because I know so often and so many times, if we're not careful, we can think the life that we design is better than the life that God designs. And that's not it. So remember, right, that if we want to ultimately see, know, and understand the fullness of life, why shouldn't we do it? And why shouldn't we follow those instructions from the Creator who gave it to us? Family, that's going to be straight from the source today. Wanted to pop in and give you a quick word of encouragement. I saw this with Jackie Hill Perry and Preston Perry, and I said, this is worth discussing. This is worth unpacking. So I did. If you have any questions, feel free to shoot me a DM at Jonathan Jones Speaks. And also, family, just remember, right? Remember, this isn't my words, right? That's the word of God that tells us it's better to get married than to burn, right? Like, I get it. You might say, well, John, I mean, you're saying that because you're married. John, I get it because, I mean, I want to do what I want to do. This is my body. And I hear you on that argument. It is your body, but your body is the scriptures tell us that our body is not our own, right? So we're here on borrowed time. We're here in borrowed bodies by the Creator who gave them to us. So shouldn't we, right? Based on everything that He's done for us, and we can love because He first loved us. So therefore, when you rent a car, don't you try to return it just as good, if not better, when you bring it back to the shop? Yeah. You try to make sure the gas is filled up. You want to make sure that the car is in good condition, not got trash and junk and all that inside the car. So if God is loaning you a body, when you give it back to Him, wouldn't you want to make sure that it's clean, it's in better condition than it was before? Not extra mileage, beat up, and everything else? Something to consider. Before we get out of here, y'all, let me just shoot up a quick prayer for you, because this topic, I know, is not the easiest to digest at times, right? I know, and I'm married, and I know. So I just want to shoot up a quick prayer before we get out of here. Father God, I pray for everyone under the sound of my voice, Lord, knowing that your scripture is true, knowing that your text is real, and knowing that you know our desires, Lord God, because you gave them to us. So I pray that each and every person who hears this word today, that they would not be frustrated, they would not be angry, but they would be encouraged, God. I pray that this word and this text brings somebody closer to you. I pray that anybody who might be in a position to where they're struggling and they're trying to make difficult decisions, Lord God, that you would give them wisdom and help them to navigate those spaces in those places. And as we move forward into the close of the week, I pray, Father God, that we would all find time to get into your word to where we can further our relationship with you. And to those, Lord God, who may not yet know you, I pray that this revealed, I pray that through this text and through our message today, that they have been introduced to you and that they can see you real like never before. But also, Lord God, I pray that you would give them encouragement and you would give them steps to be able to move forward, to progress, and to get into right alignment with you, Father God. Just as your word says that you forgive us and you take our sins and you throw them into the sea of forgetfulness. So I pray, Lord God, that any sins that anyone under my voice might have committed knowingly or unknowingly, Lord God, that they would be freed and cleansed of those things. I pray, Lord God, that if there's any chains or any bondage of anything around sexual immorality, that they would be released from the hand of that today. In Jesus' name we pray. Family, if you didn't know before, I want you to know today and now that I love you, okay? I love you, and I pray God's best for you. And we're going to go ahead and get out of here, and hopefully we'll find producer Britt by tomorrow because she said, John, you got to be on here. So I said, Britt, you're supposed to be on here too, but we don't see her. Anyway, we'll catch up with her tomorrow. Family, remember, speak your success, believe in your greatness, and continue to create the life and business of your dreams. Why would you and why should you live any other way?